It's 24/7 minutes past seven on Sunday Extra. Julian Morrow with you. A giant of the Labor Party and a remarkable Australian. That's how Prime Minister Anthony Albanese remembered former ALP power broker and Federal Cabinet Minister Graham Richardson, who died yesterday at the age of 76. The PM also said Richo was often colourful and sometimes controversial. Graham Richardson was for a time Australia's youngest senator when elected Senator for New South Wales at just 33. He was also General Secretary of the New South Wales Labor Party at the age of 26. Richardson served as a cabinet minister in the Hawke and Keating governments. His time as environment minister was surprisingly passionate and resulted in the Daintree rainforest being saved. It also contributed to the preference deals that he was instrumental in building, which resulted in Bob Hawke's fourth win for Labor in 1990. Troy Bramston is a senior writer with the Australian newspaper and a prolific biographer, including of Prime Ministers Keating, Menzies, Hawke and now Whitlam as well. And he joins us this morning to discuss the life and legacy of Richo. Welcome, Troy.
Good morning, Julian. Nice to talk to you.
You too. How has Graham Richardson been remembered since news of his passing emerged yesterday?
Well, he was quite a unique figure. You know, he did have this sort of really mix of politics and policy. So that's his legacy, really. He was a party secretary in New South Wales in the 1970s. He was a factional kingmaker, a factional leader, you know, very close to prime ministers and premiers. So there's that sort of political world, the kind of master of the dark arts, let's say. But that's not what he was only interested in. He was also interested in policy. And you mentioned there his period as environment minister was really significant. And he said to me that, you know, helping to save the Tasmanian rainforests from logging was probably a pretty good legacy to have because they're going to last forever, even though you're not going to last forever.
How did his interest and passion for environmental matters come about?
Look, it's actually a bit of a mystery, really. I mean, he came into the parliament in 1983 as a senator, and so he's a backbencher during the Hawke government when it comes in. He, you know, interestingly, I found out though when I wrote a Bob Hawke biography, I was trying to work out who were the people that had walk-in rights. You know, he could just walk into the prime minister's office without an appointment, and he was one of them, even though he'd only just arrived. So that's how powerful he was. So he is playing that really behind the scenes role, and then he finally gets to be a minister after the 1987 election, and the environment was starting to become a really big issue. There'd been the Franklin Dam campaign and so on. And Hawke wanted someone who could really help manage that issue. It was going to be very tricky, you know, negotiating between local communities and loggers and environmentalists. And, you know, Tasmania was going to be a big issue. And there'd been a discussion and a review about what to do about logging in Tasmania. And he needed someone who could navigate all of those tricky communities and interests, and also a lot of division in the cabinet about what to do about this. And so Richo, who was a master of politics, Hawke thought could help master this political problem for him as well.
Yeah, an interesting array of prominent politicians who've come out speaking tributes to Richo after his death, ranging from Bob Brown to Scott Morrison. I imagine that doesn't happen very often. Troy Bramston, could you speak a little bit about the life story of Graham Richardson and his origins?
Yeah, look, he was into politics as a young age, and he came from a very working class family in the sort of St George, Cogra area of Sydney, south of Sydney. His father was a trade union official, and his mother worked with his father. And he got interested in politics at a really young age. He went to university, but he wasn't all that interested in university. And so politics was his passion. And so, you know, he's in his 20s, early 20s, when he joins the Labor Party head office. And he's part of this group of so-called mates. You know, he's friends with Paul Keating and Bob Carr and Laurie Brereton and Leo McClay. And so this is the coming of age of a new generation in Labor politics, and he's in the thick of it. And he's mentored by a guy by the name of John Ducker, who was the New South Wales Labor Party secretary, head of the Labor Council, also a very shrewd politician. And he starts to climb what we would call the Labor ranks, you know. So he's an organiser in the party office in 1971, and he becomes secretary of the party in 1976, right at the time when Neville Rand comes to power. And that's an often unremembered aspect of his legacy. He's there during the Rand years, and he said to me that, you know, Rand made it easy because Rand was such a good politician, he didn't have to do much. But they were a pretty good combination. And I think that working class background, that sensibility, Julian, really helped him understand politics. He had a really good way of understanding what people thought out there, as he would call them, out in the mob. What they thought about people, issues, events.
Yes, and he famously said they never get it wrong. And as you say, he had an uncanny ability to discern the mob. Troy, the Sydney Morning Herald said that Richo's, quote, knack for courting controversy undercut his ministerial achievements, and he was certainly no stranger to controversy. Do you agree with the Herald's assessment?
Look, I do. I think he was from another age in politics, and we need to be honest about this. I mean, he was attracted to money, I think. He'd grown up in a very modest home, modest background in politics, in his family life, as we've been talking about. And he did build a lot of these relationships with, let's call them, dodgy businessmen. And he got involved in a lot of scandals. And this is in an age where we didn't have the same kind of electoral or donation laws that we have now. There's less kind of scrutiny on the kind of ethics of politics. So he famously said, I'll do whatever it takes, and there's nothing wrong with that to get a good policy outcome or to make somebody prime minister. But his way of operating probably would not be tolerated today. Let's put it like that.
Troy, could you share some personal memories of interactions with Richo, which you reckon in some way sum up his character?
Look, he was a very gregarious kind of guy. He loved life. He's a life affirmer. And everyone's talked about him being the master of the long lunch. And I certainly went to Chinatown, the old Golden Century restaurant, and sat there and watched him sort of spin the Lazy Susan after ordering expertly from the menu. The staff knew him. People would come up to the table. So he was kind of really a man about town. He didn't have charisma. He had power. He kind of emanated that. He was a great networker. And so he loved to be out. He loved to talk to people and meet people. And he was very friendly. And he was always a very kind of helpful guy, you know, and that's what he was like. And he used that power and that influence and that instinct for politics in many ways, not only in Parliament, but, you know, he was mayor of the Olympic Village. He became a lobbyist. He's a television and print and radio commentator. So he used these skills in many different ways. But he was good to be around. He was colourful. He was controversial, and he didn't hide that. Didn't shy away from that. But he made a really big impact on our politics and on our policy.
Yes, and certainly legendary for his lunches. I heard Ben Fordham, who announced the death of Graham Richardson with the permission of the family, expressing concern for the revenue of Haymarket Chinese restaurants after Richo's passing. He certainly was well known for those long lunches. Obviously, after leaving Parliament, Troy, he never really left the world of politics. What impact did Richo have as a commentator and after leaving Parliament?
Look, he was up to his neck in it. You know, I did his Sky News show quite a few times, and he's still talking to politicians. He's still talking to the Prime Minister, to the party leaders, to people up and coming. He's still very much involved. He might have left Parliament in 1994, which is a long time ago, but he was still knew everybody. He was still influential, and he was still playing a role, and he had opinions that he shared widely with people. And both sides of politics too. You know, you mentioned Scott Morrison. I mean, he was pretty well connected right across the political divide. He was no longer doing lobbying, but he was sort of influence peddling. He wanted to be in the thick of it. That's what he loved. He loved politics, and it's a tribute to him that he was able to build these contacts and these relationships on either side of the political divide. So that's really interesting to remember. I think he wasn't just a tribal person. He had become a kind of a national political figure.
Graham Richardson's death came after a long and grueling battle with cancer. Could you speak a little to how he dealt with those challenges?
Oh, look, it was really bad. You know, he had bone cancer, and he had a whole lot of different organs removed and multiple surgeries, and he was in a walker, and you know, a lot of people would find that really difficult and really challenging and you know, not really enjoying life. But he never let it sort of stop him from doing anything. He was always out and about doing things, going to lunch, appearing on television. He appeared on television in the week that he died, earlier this week. So you know, he didn't really worry about that. He was someone who really loved life and a life affirmer. And he was very proud of his son, Darcy, who's a young man and wanted to be around for him and wanted to earn money for the family, he told me. So, you know, he was doing the best that he could. He was living life to the fullest and extracting everything from it that he could right up until the end.
Troy Bramson, thanks very much for joining us this morning on Sunday Extra.
Thanks, Julian. It's a pleasure.
That's Troy Bramson, senior writer with The Australian and prolific political biographer in Australia. He's done biographies of Paul Keating, Robert Menzies, Bob Hawke, and his new book just out is Gough Whitlam, The Vista of the New. And on Sunday Extra, it's 34 minutes past seven.
Getting in touch with ABCRN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.